Welcome to New Human Living Radio Show, bringing you powerful interviews to awaken the power in you. Learn more at newhumanliving.com. And now your host, Les Jensen.
Hello and welcome to the show tonight. I think we're going to have a real good time. I'm really looking forward to it. We're going to reach into the future. It's Wednesday here in Boulder, Colorado. We're going to reach into the future to Thursday in Australia, where our guest Shivani Ganel is going to join us. And our topic tonight is how to find and live your soul's calling. How cool is that? I don't think we can ever overestimate the potential of our soul. And to find that calling and then turn around and live it has got to amp up the excitement for our minds, for our enjoyment of our lives. So that's going to be a very interesting conversation we have coming up in just a few minutes. But, you know, I wanted to just touch base a little bit about a lot of what people are seeing in the media, at least here in the United States, and going through this political storm or upheaval, if you will. It's like the shadow side of humanity is percolating like a boiling pot. And a lot of people will look at that and they'll be afraid, or they'll drop into fear, or they'll can a lot of times even emotionally shut down, like it's all overwhelming and they just want to go in their room and pull the covers over their head and hide. But I just want to say, you know, in my bones of bones, I really feel that humanity is really at a very, very powerful crossroads. And when I say crossroads, I mean we're crossing out of the old story and we're coming into a new story. I think the seeming pain and chaos of what these turbulent times are bringing is like a pressure cooker, in a sense, in that it's pushing us deeper and deeper into our own psyche, into our own soul. And I suggest it's going to awaken legions of Gandhis, of Buddhas, of Christ-conscious people that'll come out of just everyday fabric, everyday people that were being awakened at such a deep level. And my gut says it wouldn't be as powerful if it wasn't as turbulent as it is. And I can only imagine what it's like to watch the U.S. political stage from afar. It's like get some popcorn and turn down the lights. This is a movie you couldn't possibly ever write, and yet it's seemingly reality here in the United States. Just trust. I guess what I'm getting at is there's a benefit to what's happening. I know on the surface it looks like some kind of a crazy house, but I really feel like we're going through our own deeper psyche, and we're going to come out of this. If it wasn't so turbulent, we wouldn't come out as profound as we're going to. I think we're going to have some exceptionally powerful and creative years in our human story. And to be alive for that, to be living in these times, is a very powerful calling for you and your soul. And speaking of soul, let's get to our show tonight. Shivani Ganel and I have been on the air before in a roundtable, and I'm so delighted to have her on the show. Shivani is an inspirational leader, a psychotherapist, an energetic healer, a psychic and life mastery coach. Shivani's mastery in helping women find and live their soul's calling has guided her to apply the Akashic Records as a grounding tool in order to get information on who you are at the soul level. Join me in welcoming Shivani on the show. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so very much, Les, for having me. And I'm sure we're going to have so much fun. And also thank you to your listeners. And yes, I love being your future. I had a chuckle about that. And, you know, if you don't mind, I heard your introduction with interest. And, of course, here in Australia, we are looking at what is happening in America with interest, because we very closely follow the U.S. So what happens to you guys really will, you know, usually a year later or so happens to us. And I actually believe, similar to what you, well, first of all, whatever is happening in inverted commas is perfect because it's happening. The second bit is that it's the perfect, being making overt, really, the play between what I would call your ego, your personality that is fear-based, or your soul, your spirit that is, there's enough for everybody, win-win situation, it's love-based. And I think, yes, we are definitely on the crossroads. And the big question is, do I buy into the fear or do I go with love?
Right.
But I also don't believe there's anything in inverted commas wrong, because A, we have free will, right? So that's the name of the game,
sure,
really, here on the planet. And without, say, hot, you would not know that there's cold. You know, without lack of food, you wouldn't, or hunger, you wouldn't know that there's, you know, say, gluttony or too much food.
Right.
So we do have the contrast, and through the contrast, we get to experience ourselves, and then we can decide for ourselves. Okay, so what do I choose? And so
right.
It is very interesting for me to watch what's happening in the U.S. And we have our own right-wing element now in Australia, in the name of Pauline Hanson, who's very much anti-immigration, anti-Muslim, anti-Asian. So it's not just only happening in the States. And, you know, this woman has three seats now in Parliament.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, to get started, can you share with our listeners kind of an overview of how you've come to be working with women and teaching about our soul's calling?
Yep, sure. Look, so I was born in Germany, and I had your typical middle-class upbringing, but I was very connected to the spiritual universe, basically from the time I was born, and thought that everybody else would experience the world like I did, and had to discover that this definitely was not the case. So I was, you know, I had my spirit guides, I would see energy, I would hear, you know, what people would say, and didn't realize that it was quite often a discrepancy between what people would say and feel. And so I, growing up with atheist parents, was very interesting, because their view of the world was basically nothing else exists except your five senses. And so I went through my own trials and tribulation, reclaiming, basically being very open, very psychic, you know, to closing that totally down, because I was constantly told that I was crazy, also believing that I was not good enough and I just didn't fit in. till I, but I kept asking questions even in my early 20s, and then still started searching and basically got a big wake-up call when I was diagnosed with cervical cancer at the age of 24. And that was my start again, I guess, to find alternatives and to find answers. And through that and through my own healing, I more and more was prompted to do what I came here to do. And why women? It's not that I don't work with men at all. There are certain men I am more than happy to work with. I just noticed that women, for example, have different issues and different beliefs that stand in the way to do your soul's calling than men have. Just mm-hmm. very different thinking and usually different upbringing.
So
knowing from my own journey what's in the way and how to do it and, you know, what are the issues, I've just gravitated towards women.
Well, when you look at the clientele you've worked with, the women you've worked with over time, what would you say are some of the core issues that you see over and over again?
One of the core issues would be I'm not good enough. Another core issue would be not trusting your guidance. And also being really afraid of what other people would think of you, especially, say, if you are called to make public your spiritual gifts, whether that's, I mean, for example, being a yoga teacher these days are really quite in inverted comma normal. But 28 years ago when I started, it was definitely to be ridiculed.
Right, yeah.
Right?
Sure.
So say you are very psychic or you are a healer or, you know, you want to do something that's not quite in inverted commas normal, that doesn't quite fit with our social norm, there'll be an element of fear because you need to work through not being accepted, being called crazy, being possibly even attacked, not physically, but verbally.
Sure.
You're a dreamer, you're stupid. Go and get a real job.
Right, your head is in the clouds. Come back to reality.
Yeah.
Well, so I would imagine that women who are feeling connected to that intuition, who are getting more and more dialed in and getting more clarity to that intuition, it's got to take some wherewithal to say, well, wait a minute, I am good enough. I am not crazy. In fact, if anything, the normal I've been living is crazy, and what I'm feeling with this intuition feels more normal and real than what I've been told is normal and real. Wouldn't you think?
I think it takes time because as we, so to speak, flex our muscle that is our intuition, and then we trust and we overcome the fear and we just do what our intuition tells us. And then when we notice, oh wow, you know, it's actually working, there is a positive outcome by doing this. Yes, I agree. But what quite often happens is, especially at the beginning, but even, you know, if you're quite used to your intuition, quite often the intuition is not logical. And you quite often get only one piece of information, the first step. And the muscle, so to speak, that you need to train is to trust the intuition and just do it, because you will never usually get a mapped out plan. You know, our ego, our personality would laugh that, okay, so give me every step in advance and tell me that I can't fail.
Yeah.
And tell me
right,
that I have my, you know, I'll get my beloved in the meantime as well. Right? So it won't work that way. Yes, we are all highly intuitive. And I think we get our nudges, we get our, you know, we get our inspiration, being inspired, because we know whether we are excited, whether we are happy, whether, right? And then
sure.
What quite often happens is after the initial excitement, then we go into the fear-based thinking. Oh, I haven't got the money for it. Oh, I'm not sure whether I'm qualified. Oh, you know, not sure. And then inspiration, right? The being inspired falls by the wayside.
Right, yeah. I could imagine, too, that if you have a busy mind, you don't get, and this might be somewhat of what you're saying, if your mind is so quick to look for results, so quick to analyze and be critical of what's happening, and you get that inspiration. And so oftentimes the inspiration you're getting is not really the end result of what is intended. It's a stepping stone, if you will. You know, the inspiration will say, well, open up more, whatever, you know, take this next step, and the critical mind will say, well, okay, I did that and nothing happened, damn it. So it must be broke. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I see what you mean by taking time and really I can see how that relates to the trust part of it. I mean, to develop trust, you've really got to be cognitive. You got to be aware that there is a much bigger picture unfolding and not quantify it by this very next step in a yes or no way. If this next step works, yes, and if I don't perceive it as working, then all bets are off, kind of stuff.
And I think if we then go one step back, it would be we need to make time, quality time for ourselves, and ideally some spiritual practice, even if that's sitting in mindfulness for 10 minutes and watching the breath, because I think only in the peace and quiet can we actually listen to our inspiration or our answers.
Right.
Yeah. And then I think I have not seen yet if you actually do what your inspiration tells you to do, I have not seen that backfire. Yeah, so you take the first step and then, okay, you've done that, you sit with that, and then the next step will come in, the next one.
Right.
And I think it's having the trust and the patience that it will unfold.
So when you first start creating a space in your life for that intuition to be followed up by action, in other words, you're trusting it enough to fulfill it with action, that it's kind of like flexing a muscle. It almost seems like when people first, I mean, because your soul can show you a pretty big ass vision of your life. And to your little mind, it's like, what the hell? Are you talking to me? Is there somebody behind me? I mean, what's going on here? And so we'll get inspiration and we'll chew on it for a week or two or a month, and then we'll take action on it. And it almost seems like, it's a kind of a teeter-totter thing where when you start to trust that inspiration, instead of being inspired once for the whole day or maybe even once for the whole week or more, you could be inspired many times in a day. In fact, you could sit there and stay connected to that inspiration and follow its guidance throughout your day. And then it'd almost be like the shift of the teeter-totter over to your soul drive in your life. Is that what you're getting at?
I think reminding yourself many times is fantastic, especially if you energize that with the what I would call soul-driven outcome. So maybe that would be freedom, maybe that would be love, maybe would be trust, right? What I also noticed with some people is that, like, the way I understand the process is that, say, you are at point A. Point A is, this is your life right now. Now you get an inspiration, and that inspiration is point B. So this is where you want to get to. Now, everything that is between point A and point B that is not of love will have to be processed or worked through or, you know, overcome in some ways. And I think a lot of people think, just because I have this inspiration and yes, I feel fantastic, I tried on, yep, love it, yes, definitely want to go for it, that right. It will easily happen. Well, no, because you are stretching energetically, you are growing, you are experimenting with yourself in a different way. And so there'll be, you know, there'll be fears, there'll be beliefs, there will be, you know, certain things that will be a roadblock that will need to be overcome. Despite right. getting guidance, yes, do this, okay. But because we're in the physical, we, you know, we will know very quickly, well, what is the block? And do I have the grit? Do I continue? Do I let fear stop me? Or do I, you know, somebody says something negative about what I'm about to do, will I, you know, go and stop myself and fall into right. a heap?
Right. Like if you're asking for guidance to manifest a beloved that loves you, well, you'd have to love yourself to be able to receive that love. Mm. And so your inspiration would be, like you said, I like how you said it, it's going to be from point A to point B. It's all about love.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's the same, you know, I know you said that you are in the middle of writing a new book, right? So you have this inspiration, I'm going to write this new book. And then you physically start writing it. And I doubt that it will all flow effortlessly in 24 hours and you've got your new book, right?
Right, yeah. Oh, sure.
Yeah. So with that example, it is, okay, you have the inspiration, you know it's right, you are doing it. And there'll be times, I would think, where you sit down, you go, I'm not sure what I write, can't write at the moment. Or there'll be not issues, but maybe challenges with the publishing and how do I, with the illustrator, do you know what I mean? Till you actually manifest it, right?
Oh, yeah. You bet.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I mean. It's like we can have an inspiration and this is right for us, right in inverted commas, because I don't believe in right or wrong as such, but right because this is your inspiration. This is your soul going, yep, I want to become bigger and experience myself in a new way. And then it's still the grit, what I would call grit, and the physical action and the overcoming of whatever's in the way till you have energetically aligned with point A and B, and that would be your book is published. You did it.
Right. I think a lot of times people come up close to the finish line, close to the final step, and they'll come up with all kinds of reasons, you know, not related to anything of rational mind, all kinds, you know, oh, I'd love to do that, but I got to do the laundry. I'd love to publish my book, but, you know, the weeds out front are terrible. I got to go pull the weeds, anything but honor yourself. And I like what you said. It is grit. And, you know, I think that I like that word grit because to our little mind, to our ego, we're living our life. We're going through our day. We're making the choices that make our ego feels like, okay, I'm safe. I'm in control. And your soul's sitting there going, boy, howdy, do I love you, but damn, there could be all kinds of stuff that could be going on that you would just love to do if you can open up. And from that ego perspective, it is grit. It is the sense that says, well, the inspiration is really big and powerful, and shit, I don't know what the outcome is going to be, but I want to know and to be bold enough to push through all that internal resistance, push through all that doubt and, you know, self-judgment. Mm. You know, I guess getting gritty is like getting soulful, right?
Yeah, I reckon. I think it's commitment. And you probably know, well, I know that most people that are, in inverted commas, successful in our world have failed more than once. That's also part, I think, of the journey of being human. Because I think, again, there's this fairy tale story behind what it means to do your soul's calling. Does it get easier? Absolutely. However, you know, starting something and then failing, in inverted commas, just gives you more information. Well, this didn't work. Let's try this one. And I think what separates the people that are really, I'm going to do my soul's calling no matter what, is can you pick yourself up again and start again? Or not even start again. That's wrong because, not wrong. I'm watching myself here. So you're actually not starting again. You're starting from the new information that you just got, the new feedback in the physical that you just got. And it might have not been what you expected, but you're still on the right track.
Well, and most importantly, you're in motion on the right track. You are taking that inspiration and you're taking a step with it, whether it, quote, succeeds or fails is incidental to the fact that you're actually moving. You know, like you said, it might seem like a failure, but perhaps the only way to, quote, fail is to not be taking steps.
Yeah. Definitely. And I've, for example, a little while back, I did this, an additional course, and I'll talk about it in a moment. This is working with the Akashic Records. Now, I have learned that there is such a thing as a manifesting blueprint for each soul, right? Which I found actually fascinating. So in my instant, and that goes back to, you know, when you said before, well, people sometimes they only try a few times and then that's it, and then they actually stop themselves short. Now, part of my manifesting blueprint, and for me it was like, oh, thank God I know that, is that I have to say, if I do something new, say, you know, I'm learning something new, or I'm putting something out new. I'm somebody who, if the first time, say, I fail, in inverted commas, so I totally suck at it, instead of going, "Ooh, this didn't work," my blueprint is that I have to do something 3, 4, 5 times. I might not get any results 5 times if I actually continue doing the same the 6th time, bingo.
Right.
However, not everybody is like that, okay? But there are, like, for me, knowing that, okay, well, and yeah, a lot of people are different, but for me, I know now if I do something new, it's not working, if I'm having, you know, a hard time with something, I just have to keep going, keep going, keep doing the same thing, and then it will work. And that's great, right? And knowing that is actually, you know, it's great because now I know I can't give up prematurely.
Well,
right?
it gives you that insight, and I like the segue into the Akashic Records. So that blueprint that you just shared with us, that came from your Akashic Records?
Yeah. So just in case some of the listeners don't know about what the Akashic Records are. So I would describe them as an energetic database about your soul. It's literally everybody has their very own record. And in that record is who you are at soul level, like your divine gifts, your manifesting blueprint, where you've originated from, which soul group you originally came from, because not a lot of souls went directly to Earth once they were created, and that will also affect who you are. So basically, not only does it contain who are you as a soul, and that doesn't change, okay? This is just who you are. But the second bit is also what negative, in inverted commas, because we have free will, so negative in this instant would be any decision that is fear-based. So what negative decisions, what blocks, what karma have you created in the past that is still holding you back today? Because if something hasn't been solved just because you you go from one lifetime to the next, it doesn't mean that your karma finishes, right? So you still have the remnants of what I call karma in this lifetime.
So
for me, I love it because the more I know about who I am at soul level, and it's, again, it's very practical, then I actually know, yep, I'm on the right track.
Now, when you work with clients, do you connect with their Akashic Records and bring that information to them?
Yeah, basically, I work internationally, so I just need particular information from the client. So that's usually their name, date of birth, where they were born. If some of the information, if they don't have that because, say, they're adopted, I can work around it. And I've been initiated to call up a particular record. And I also have been trained to, for example, I need to ask the soul whether the soul wants to be read or not. And in rare instances, the soul doesn't want to be read. And then I respect that.
Oh, sure. Well, I can see that would be very valuable information to, like you said, once you had that insight about your own imprinting, it helped you understood your own tendencies better, and you didn't see that those first few times as a decisive thing. You knew there was a reason to keep going, and I would imagine that would really help your clients to have that Akashic feedback, if you will, of their own demeanor, of their own natural tendencies, so they can understand themselves better.
Yeah, because basically the more you are able to, say, lift your divine gifts, lift your blueprint, and the more you know, the easier it gets. And I think previously, before I knew about the Akashic Records, I have been guilty, in inverted commas, of giving up too prematurely because I just didn't know that about myself. And when I got that, you know, I had a reading done by somebody else, it was like, oh my God, yes. And now I'm just,
right.
And you know, it's great. I'm like, okay. I'm almost expecting it. And by expecting that I have to do things a few more times, you know, it's fine. It's, I'm not getting disappointed. You know, it's like, oh, it didn't work the first time. Oh, it must be the wrong way to go about it. Well, no.
Right.
And, you know, and it's, I love it because it's so practical. I'll give you an example. So I had a client and she wanted to automate, like she wanted to have an automated sales funnel, right? With her gifts, like she created these courses, she was a healer, therapist, and she worked really hard on automating everything. And she spent a lot of money on it, and it just didn't translate into sales. It didn't work. It didn't work. And then I had a look at her records, and I went, well, no wonder it didn't work, because your gift and your blueprint actually says you need some direct interaction with people. Now, you can, she could still do the online bit, but not the fully automated bit. So she needed to either have sales staff that would actually be there if people called, you know, the website,
right,
or her. Or she also needed to do like a video so people could see her online and do question and answers. Like she had to have some interaction, whether
right,
that's through video or webinar, or so people could see her and feel her, experience her. And that was it. As soon as she put that in, her business worked. Because at soul level or her manifesting blueprint, no, you can't. It doesn't matter how much money you throw onto something if it's not who you are. At it, you know, if it's not your essence, it will be really hard because you're going against who you are at soul level.
Wow, I like that. So
yes,
can
I'm
you
very
share...
practical.
Well, let's take a look at your platform, and you work primarily with women and men as well, but your focus is women. Now, do you work in groups? Do you work one-on-one? Do you work over the phone or Skype? Can you kind of share with our audience what kind of modalities you have?
Sure. So basically, at the moment, I am working with women one-on-one. I work within a 1 year because I believe it really takes time. One, you know, you think 1 year, oh my God, but 1 year from the start of this is where I'm at, point A, and this is where I want to go, point B, usually it takes easily 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
I work globally. I work through Skype. I work through email. I use the Akashic Records as a base by finding out, okay, who are you at soul level? Is what you are wanting to do? Is your it's not even that the inspiration can be off. It's more, okay, I'm inspired to do whatever. Now we can look at, okay, how does it best resonate with your soul level gifts? Yes, maybe somebody is more visual or somebody is a natural channel, and you know, the power of the word is really important. So again, it depends on that. I do long distance energetic healing. I'm a psychotherapist, so I also work with people to actually uncover anything, you know, any of the fears or any of what we quite often have when we grow up, you know, where we believe we're not good enough, or you're crazy, or who do you think you are, you know? Because like I said, any of that will come up in order to be healed, because you have asked to grow by saying, yes, I want to do my soul's calling. And the vision is the most important thing to start with, but also know that the vision can be fine-tuned and sometimes can even change.
Right. Well, I could really see how working for a period of time, working for a year, could really put some muscle behind what you're doing when you're working with your clients. Yeah, because I think so, you know, I sit here and think of a single episode. Okay, we're going to talk for an hour on Thursday, and then that'll be it. That's not our... I mean, that can be a wonderful conversation, but our human demeanor tends to, it does take time to unfold. And as we overcome the inhibiting factors that are right in front of us now, it would take time to really get a momentum going, if you will, and really cover some ground. So I can really appreciate, I really like when you said that I like to work in 1 year blocks. That what kind of issues, I mean, if I'm a listener and I'm sitting here going, well, I don't, you know, I've got this personal situation I have, what kind of issues do you work with, and what kind of results have you seen with your clients?
Yep, sure. Look, I'll give you an idea of my typical clients, and then I'll talk to you about the issues. So, you know, maybe you're stuck in a corporate job that's literally eating your soul away, and, you know, maybe you're daydreaming of creating a shelter for sick animals. Or, you know, maybe you have fantasies of going to a third world country to help with humanitarian and environmental issues. And you're wondering, you know, am I realistic? You know, maybe you're compelled to write and teach, but you feel stuck. Or maybe you're already a, you know, body worker or yoga teacher or psychic reader, and it's just not happening financially. So that would be, so one of my clients, for example, she migrated from the UK to Australia, and she was originally in the UK, she was in advertising, in marketing, and then realized she didn't actually really like that. And then here in Australia, she thought, okay, I really want to do something with people. So she started a nursing training, and was 2.5 years into the nursing training out of 3, and realized there's no way, I don't actually want to be a nurse in the ward. And she was really down on herself, because she thought, I've just wasted all this time, all this money, you know, to finally find out, well, I actually don't want to do it. I can't see myself as a nurse on the ward, right? And that's when she came to me. And we basically had to, and she came for other, you know, she became anxious. She really was down on herself. She, you know, she literally flogged herself by, yeah, just not accepting that she's done 2 trainings now and it's still not, in inverted commas, right. So we had to work, I had to work, stop beating yourself up.
Right, yeah.
Okay, that's the first thing, because in that, your guidance, you're not open to hearing guidance, right? I actually, together with her, we decided, okay, finish the training. You're almost there. Finish it. You know, a graduate degree in nursing, I think, is always great. Okay, so she did that. She was, she went into childhood issues where she had a mum that didn't cope, basically. And she had where she basically was, for example, her mum didn't get her to school on time, right? So here she was as a 7-8 year old. She obviously couldn't drive, and her mum just didn't get it together, and so she was always late at school, which also meant she would always get berated by the teachers, and the teachers didn't realize that it's really her mum. And here she's going, come on, mum, you know, I'm late for school.
Right,
and
yeah.
So she, so she internalized very early that she's wrong, right? Because she would, and she's helpless. And, you know, no matter what she does, it's not working, because she would tell her mum, come on, hurry up, I'm late. That didn't work. And she would basically get the flack from the teachers, right?
Right.
So there was a very, I'm not good enough and I'm stupid and I just can't do it, that we had to undo. And her thing was she loved nutrition, but being more, not your typical, you know, dietitian nutrition, but more like paleo or, you know, different nutrition, was very worried that, so she was really into nutrition, alternative health, you know, health in general. And what happened, and that's what I love, and that's why I want to share this story. So we got her where she could be back in, okay, I haven't done anything wrong. Everything that happened is perfect, in inverted commas. She still knew she wanted to be with people. She still knew she wanted to do something with health, but not in the classical health system. And she saw this ad, somebody wanting, that was in Sydney, somebody asking for a, or offering a apprenticeship for colonics, which was only for 3 months. And she was very interested in cleansing, which worked perfectly with her interest in food and, you know, diet and good eating. And she got it. So not only did she finish her diploma, her nursing degree, she trained to be a colonic therapist, loved
right.
it part-time, and then trained more in what she really loves doing, the nutrition. And now she has her own business, and she still works a few hours in the initial clinic. And she's happy.
Right.
So the nursing, the nursing was perfect because it gave her a really good platform, and she knew all about the anatomy and, yeah, you know, all that. There was no accident. And now she's actually doing what she loves doing. And yes, it took a year, close to a year, because we had to undo a lot of, you know, her.
Sounds like we might be having some technical problems. Are you there, Shivani?
I am, yes.
It broke up for a second. You're fine now.
Oh, okay, good. I could hear the pause, and I wasn't quite sure either.
The technical hiccup.
But, okay.
Well, that sounds impressive, because, you know, I can really see how working with somebody over that period of time would, I mean, you would get feedback, and then you would present more and get feedback, and it really is a journey. And I like how your platform is set up to help them along that journey. But, you know, that's a powerful story about how that client had their life turned around, and they got into the groove of their soul's intention, and they had a
yeah.
genuine sense of satisfaction.
Yeah, and very quickly, what I want to say is that I know without doubt, when you actually commit yourself, the universe is totally behind you. They will always say yes. the other thing is what the reason I take a year too is I want to make my clients self-sufficient, meaning that part of the year's training, I can also look up their spirit guides. Like we have an inner circle, everyone has an inner circle of spirit guides. And I hear so often people say, well, I don't get the message clear. I don't know, you know, I don't. And I can literally tell people, these are the people that are in your inner circle, or these are your guides, and then give them also, well, this is how the guide would like to communicate with you. So maybe you feel a pressure on the top of your head, or you smell a particular smell, or, you know, they all want to get your attention in different ways. And I help people recognize and sit with it so they are, that hopefully after the year, they don't ever, ever need to work with me again. Because they now are totally in, well, in a good way, you know, like I want, my thing is, I want to empower you. And I, after a year, you know, without doubt, this is my intuition. This is what I need to do. And yes, I have the grit, because it's never finished. You know what I mean? Like, we're all, the soul is always creative. Yeah, like with you. How many books have you written now?
Like, you six. Yeah. And, you know, my first book took like 6 years because I so didn't see myself as an author. And it's, you know, what we've been talking about. It's a journey. Well, you know, I like what you said, that you're making your clients self-sufficient, because our soul always for all of our life, for the entire journey, is there with an insight of who we can be that's always compatible with our happiness. I mean, it doesn't mean you might that you still have to show up and put some sweat into it. But when you honor that inspiration from your soul, it always expands and grows who you are, and you feel renewed. You know, you're literally a new human walking around on the planet because of who you've become in the journey. So I really like that idea that you make them self-sufficient to continue their journey in a healthy and effective way.
Yeah, because I think once you've had the first really big win, in inverted commas, once you have had the experience, wow, I'm actually putting out, I want to get to point B, and you have no idea how to do it first, and then you have reached point B, oh my God, you know, you've had a direct experience that I can create the life that I want. Once you've had it once, you have that imprint within you that, as you said, you know, it will become easier and quicker. You know, the first book might take 6 years, the second book might take 1 year.
Right. Yeah. Oh, indeed. Yeah. And
you know what to do. You don't need me anymore, you know.
Well, that's so very nice, because, you know, sometimes you go to see the doctor and you swear he's named his new car after you because you're a lifetime member.
Yeah. No, look, I don't believe in it. It's my biggest joy when I see women being really empowered and reach their goals, and then they can go off and I bless them. I mean, doesn't mean they can't check in with me, or, you know, there might be periods of time where I can help them, but I really don't believe in trying to make clients dependent on me, because you know, you do know best.
Well,
it's your life, you know.
I mean, they can't truly own their power unless indeed they do trust themselves above all other. You know, nobody can tell you how to be authentic to you. It's an inside job.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, you know, an hour goes by pretty fast. I want to make sure our listeners know how to connect with you. Can you share with us your information?
Absolutely. So if you would like to go to Reclaim Inner Peace, so it's R-E-C-L-A-I-M for Mary, Reclaim, and then Inner, I-N-N-E-R, Peace, P-E-A-C-E.com. So that's my website. I've also got a free webinar that I have given already that you are most welcome to listen to. Again, I'm going more into the nitty-gritty of what is in the way to find and live your soul's calling. And also, if you're really moved, send me an email. So that would be Shivani at Reclaim Inner Peace. So that's S-H-I-V-A-N-Y. And I'm more than happy to have a strategy call with you if you want to explore more options on how I can help you and work with you.
Wow. You know, what a delight. I'm so delighted that you work with women in such a powerful way. I want to thank you for having you on the show. It seems like we planned this quite a while ago, and here we are. So it's been a real pleasure having you as a guest on the show tonight.
Same, me, Les. Honestly, I'm just so overjoyed that I'm able to be here on the platform that you've created for your listeners. And I love how much of a difference that you make. And I think the reason I'm so passionate about my work and also your work is that we are now needed, you know. Very much at the beginning you said we are at the crossroads, and I really believe that with our evolution. And I think the more people, men and women, who decide, yes, I want to go with who I am at soul level, and yes, I'll overcome whatever I need to overcome, I think with each person, we make the planet a better place because it starts with ourselves.
Very well said. We've been talking with Shivani Ganell about how to find and live your soul's calling. You know, when you can live your life in your head, you can live your life in your ego, and go through your life just fine. I mean, the universe isn't really biased about what you actually pick. But as Shivani has shown us tonight, when you find and live your soul's calling, a much bigger aspect of you shows up in your everyday life. I encourage you to reach out to Shivani and take her up on her gift, her modality. She's sincere and is a genuine, open heart there to assist you in your journey. You know, when we do show up, when we honor our potential, when we honor that inspiration with action, and we develop that into a reflex, I tell you, at the end of the day, it's so rewarding. The gift, the reward, is not at the end of the journey. It's today. When you show up for your life's calling, for your soul's calling today, you feel genuinely satisfied and fulfilled, because, you know, heaven on earth is a right now kind of thing. And when you honor who you are, and that a big part of that equation is self-love and a sprinkle of discipline or grit, as she said, then life gets good. You've already done that by joining us with this episode. It's been a pleasure sharing this time with you. I'm your host, Les Jensen. Until next time.
This has been a New Human Living Radio broadcast to bring your soul's inspiration into effect and live your life wide open. Check out our host, Les Jensen's latest book, Citizen King, The New Age of Power, at newhumanliving.com. Thanks for listening.